We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
And normally we do the Pizzadelphia Festival, but we can't do that this year. So we're bringing the pizza to you. Every week a ticket goes on sale that will get you a full-size pizza from five different great Philly pizzerias for just $25. 4 weeks, four different tickets, five pizzerias each week. It's a good deal to me. See all the pizzerias and sign up for pre-sale access at pizzadelphiafest.com. Brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers, T-Mobile, and Berkshire Hathaway Home Services. As Brian Baldinger joins us right now, he's a Radio.com Sports NFL Insider. Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. What's up, Baldy? How are you?
Hey, Marks. What's happening, guys? How are you?
What's up, Baldy?
I'm good, man. I'm good, brother. I mean, we're getting ready for some Sunday night football in America, you know? Cowboys and Eagles. I mean, who can't get excited about that, Ike?
No, I'm with you. I wish I could play. I think I got one or two plays left in me.
Yeah. We all got one or two, Ike. No more than that, though.
No more than that. Baldy, today Doug Peterson spoke at his press conference, and you got the idea that Jason Peters may be back at left tackle, and then practice started, and he was back at left tackle. Jordan Mailata moved over to the right side. Lane Johnson didn't practice. But it's pretty clear to me, or at least it looks like, that Jason Peters has his job back. Do you think it's a mistake moving JP back to left tackle and putting Mailata either at right tackle or then on the bench?
Well, I think you got to get your best five and your healthiest five out there, whatever that is. I mean, if Lane's ankle and isn't healed yet, I mean, it's just been prolonged by him playing. I know he wants to play, but you got to get your five best guys out there. If the five best include Mailata and Jason Peters right now, then put your five best out there.
If Lane Johnson plays on Sunday night, who should be the left tackle?
Well, I mean, you're going to see, the Cowboys are a mess. I'm not going to dismiss that, but they do have two pretty good pass rushers and DeMarcus Lawrence and Aldon Smith. I wouldn't have a problem with either one of them. I mean, I don't know that Jordan Mailata has played really well. I really don't want to change him, but if Jason Peters is back and feels good, then I'd take a look in how he looks in practice and go from there.
Yeah, because, Baldy, the option is if you got both guys healthy and say Lane is able to go, he's going to play right tackle. It certainly seems like the Eagles aren't as comfortable or ready to move Jason Peters to right guard as opposed to having him play left tackle. Do you think he would make a better left tackle than he would a right guard right now?
I do think he'd be a better right guard than left tackle right now.
Okay.
But I think they like Herbig, and where he's at right now. And we'll see, what Matt Pryor looks like. Mm-hmm. But I think they're pretty comfortable inside at guard. I'm not, trying to speak for Doug or Howie or anybody else. I'd like to just see Mailata stay at left tackle. He looks pretty good to me. And, for a guy that has started three games or four games now, I'd like to see the development continue, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think
so would a lot of people, at least on the outside, people that we're talking to, they've all said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you just look at Lane and Jason right now, Lane has come out of all these games. He's starting, he's come out of the game, he's going back in. Jason Peters has been doing that. I mean, I know you want your best five out there, all that, but, I just see Jordan Mailata out there battling and looks really good at times. And, you're up against really good players like Bud Dupree. You're going to have some plays that you want back, but that's all part of the learning process. I don't see it. If one bad play was compounded by another, Ike, or another, and you saw a tailspin, then I'd say, okay, let's let them sit and watch. But I don't see that. I see pretty consistent play from him, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks like he could be the real deal. I don't know that I want to interfere with that right now.
Interesting. Baldy, we've seen Carson put on the cape a couple times here in the fourth quarter and just play his behind off. And last week he was able to win the game. The other weeks he wasn't able to. But overall, based on what you're seeing, where is Carson and how far away is he from putting together a complete game?
When he throws to Travis Fulgham, he looks like Carson circa 2017. I mean, he throws a ball with accuracy and gusto, and, you know, he looks really confident throwing to him. It isn't always like that with everybody else, but with Fulgham, for whatever reason, he's got real chemistry. We saw that, three years ago with a couple other guys. And Alshon and me had that type of chemistry and feel with those guys. I just want to see him better in the pocket, to be honest with you. I know he loves to get out of the pocket and make these spectacular plays, but it's not about spectacular plays. Part of that is why they get behind. Yeah. I mean, it's about just being consistent and just throwing the football. Like, he doesn't have to, it doesn't have to be a WWE heavyweight fight. You could just sit back there and throw the football. Like you did, like when you were a kid. Like, he doesn't have to be like this thing where he's just running all over the place. I think sometimes you just hit your back foot and hitch step and throw it, And I think if he does that, I think he's going to be a lot better off.
Baldy, how much would a running game help out this offense? And even Carson, when we all know, we can almost tell when it's coming, when you know a bad play is coming, because he's, like you say, he starts to play that hero ball. And it has you gasping when he lets the ball go at times. But part of that is because he feels he has to do so much more to keep this offense on the field. How much would a running game help him out and this offense out?
Well, I mean, it'd be huge, right? But, they've had a hard time keeping tight ends healthy.
Yeah.
Tight ends are a big part of the run game, protecting the edges. They've had a hard time keeping backs healthy. I like Boston Scott. I don't know that he's a starting running back, but I like him. You don't lose anything with him on the field. I mean, Miles has home run hitting ability, but there's got to be a commitment to the run game. I mean, a real commitment to it. And, we have seen Doug. I don't know that that's what he likes to do best. And if you're behind, you got to throw it. I get that. But, at times. But I'd like a little better commitment to the running game. And I think all the guys up front would like a better commitment to the running game.
Yeah, it's just these last 2 weeks for me, Baldy, and I'm right there with you. It seems like the Eagles have had success running the ball. Hell, you can even go back to the Pittsburgh game. So you can take Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and this Giants game. The only time they had any success running the football is when the defense was almost giving you the run, whether it was a second and long, third and long situation, and you hit them with a draw play or something. But when the Eagles have had to run the ball and the other team knows you have to run the ball, third and one, fourth and one at times, man, we can't even get a yard at times, Baldy, when you need a yard to get.
Well, they're a shotgun offense, Ike, and I just think it's hard to have a power run game. And I mean, there's only so many runs you can have on third and one or the goal line, wherever.
Yeah.
If you're in shotgun, I mean, you're going to run inside zone. I mean, they're not a big power football team. They don't play with the fullback, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I think it just makes it tougher. But that's the type of offense that, they prefer. So, when you're just going to put Jalen Hurts in there in a read option look, I mean, at least give him a chance. I mean, there's got to be a threat to a pass before everybody, right now the way it is, there's no threat to a pass. And I think both players, whether it's Jalen Hurts, the quarterback in those situations on the goal line or needing a yard, or whether it's Carson, I think the more you can put him in a situation where it's a pass run option, it just puts the defense in a bigger bind and it makes them commit. And I think you have more options when you do that. And we've seen a bunch of plays, including the 2-point conversions against Baltimore that failed. We're seeing just limited options right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would expect that by the time we get to the midseason here and these games are division games, that if you're going to insert Jalen Hurts, give him that run-pass option at least.
Yeah, it's too predictable. We're talking to Baldy. Baldy, how bad are the Cowboys?
I had a hard time getting through the first quarter last night, John. It was as bad as anything I've ever seen, to be honest with you. Everything from techniques to fundamentals to players that don't belong on an NFL field to literally half the defense running one defense and the other half running another defense over and over and over again. Offensively, you know, when Andy Dalton went out and DiNucci came in, he had the biggest play of the game, a 32-yarder to Amari Cooper, but otherwise it was just sack city. And they literally could not protect either quarterback. And so it's really bad. It's as bad as I've ever seen it. And I have real recall of Troy Aikman in 1989 on a 1-15 team. And this looks far worse than that 1-15 team. And if you remember that year, John, I don't know if you do or not.
I do.
Maybe Ike does. But
I do. Yep.
I believe they played the Eagles on Thanksgiving that year.
Reggie White got the
body bag. Game,
yeah,
right?
But no,
not the body bag.
Reggie White got the John Madden.
But I believe Troy
turkey.
Was sacked 11 times.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what it. This looks worse than that.
Wow. Mm. All right, so you're not expecting much of a matchup on Sunday night, Baldy?
Well, I mean, look, it's the old wounded dog theory. Like, are they gonna snap out? I mean, they look like they're in a collective, organizational, deep malaise. Sometimes you snap out of it. Who knows when? I mean, CeeDee Lamb looks like a really good player, but he drops two balls right in his hands last week. It's like affecting everybody. You know, Zeke is laying the ball on the ground, you know, in the first quarter of games. Like, he never does that, but he's doing it. It's like the whole organization is affected. And maybe they stay like that all year, but maybe they just snap out of it. You know, I don't know what would make them do that because it's been seven straight weeks of it. But you always got to think, like, there is some talent on that side. DeMarcus Lawrence has been to a Pro Bowl, and Alden Smith's had 19 sacks in a season, and Amari Cooper gets $20 million a year to catch balls. I mean, there is talent there. It's just not functional talent right now.
Mm. Mm. Baldy, appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, brother.
Okay. Yep. Take care, guys.
All right. There he is. Baldy is our Radio.com NFL insider, and his calls are brought to us by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit.
Yeah, the good thing for the Eagles is that they aren't in a position to overlook anybody. Like, they didn't get into that dogfight with the Giants because they somehow assumed they were just going to walk on the field and win. Like, they came out on fire. But like most bad teams, you leave them out there enough, they're going to show you why they're a bad team. And that's what started happening, whether it was the interception from Wentz, inability to convert 4th-and-1, 3rd-and-1, Jake Elliott missing a field goal.
Defense gives up a 97-yard drive.
Like that's what starts to happen.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why you can't blow a team out. Like, I don't think they overlooked the Giants. They just showed why they aren't a complete team because they can't play for four quarters. They aren't going to overlook the Cowboys. They know this is an opportunity to put another W in the win column. And they know they also went down to the wire having to come back from a double-digit deficit with 6 minutes to go in that last game. So that's a good thing for the Eagles coming into this game.
Tough to overlook the Cowboys.
Yeah, they aren't overlooking the Cowboys.
That's a great point. No. Jack, you overlooking the Cowboys? This
feel what like his fan base is.
Yeah,
yes.
It feels like this is a week where Jack calls it a lock.
A lock. Long as you don't call it a lock, we're
Ike,
straight.
Ike,
don't do it.
They're going to win by double digits.
Man, see, there he goes. No, it's John. That's who I worry about. As long as he's not calling it a lock.
But he also.
That's all positive, John.
No, he also was the Redskin or the Washington football team game.
Yes, that's right. You were. Yeah. But, that's saying there was no way they can lose.
No,
to
that's not true. I was the only one saying it was going to be a close game.
Really?
The Rams game. Oh, the Rams game was the one that I said was a lock.
Okay, yeah.
Because as an Eagles fan and as a Philly guy, I've seen 1,000 wins like that Rams game. They just didn't show up. That's not on me. That's
they
on
weren't,
the Eagles.
And they weren't getting those wins this year.
Yeah, those
where it's like, Jim,
well, listen,
least
it was week
expected.
Two. I wasn't have a great feel for this
all
team
right,
yet.
Right.
There was no training camp or whatever.
So Wednesday, you're going on the record. Mortal lock.
Oh, no. Yeah. If they lose this game, it's just blow up the whole team.
I tend to agree with him, Mike.
Ben DiNucci? You think Ben DiNucci's beating this Eagles team in here? Come on.
I'm respecting Ben DiNucci.
Next Romo. That's what Ike said.
I heard Nick Costos on one of the betting commercials that goes. He said the sharp money's going on the Cowboys.
See, that's what
this
I'm
week.
Saying.
That worried
still
me a little
7
bit.
And a half.
But that means it'll be a 6-point game.
That's fine. Win's a win in this league.
True. But the Eagles are hurting our records,
right,
Ike.
You're right.
Divisional games are always tough. You know that.
Yeah, you're right. Covering the spread, John.
Yeah, it's hurting us.
It really is.
Man.
Majority of my losses have come from the Eagles.
Seriously. You have a great record. I don't, but a lot of that is because of the Eagles.
The spread, yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phones. JP is back. Baldy, he got there saying that he would leave my Lada at at left tackle. He got there, but initially he seems like he thinks that JP would do okay at left tackle.
Yeah.
But he would have Mailata. He would leave Mailata over there. Mm-hmm. But then somebody has to tell JP that, and I think that's where we're running into the issue, the communication of, yo, JP, you're not going back to left tackle. They're scared to do it.
That's a great idea.
Let's go to Tom in Vancouver. Tom, how are you?
Hi, guys. I'm well. How are you guys doing?
Good.
What's up, Tom?
Yeah, so, well, I'm getting ready for my shot at left tackle. I figure, why not me? Okay. We're going to be putting JP back there because he's going to get injured again soon. And I'm a little bit concerned, guys, about Mailata. We've got him on this developmental path. And mm-hmm. if he's on this developmental path, then why would we want to pull him off it right now if we're looking at long term? If Howie's considering this like a reload season, to use our Cowboy friends' terms, and not a rebuild season, then
I can explain it very well earlier, which was that once you signed him and once you gave him the extra money to be the left tackle, he is the left tackle. Yeah. So when he comes back from being hurt, he's the left tackle. And I think it's that simple. I do. I think it's a mistake.
It would seem to me – sorry to interrupt there.
Oh, you're right.
It would seem to me that we should be able to – if we're paying him all this money, he was actually signed originally as a guard.
Yep.
And if this team can't get it together, can't get the cojones together to do what's best for the team with him, then we've got a bigger problem. And I would like to know who's the one who's pushing him to be in the left tackle position or defending him to be in that position. We know he's got connections with Lurie. We know Howie's involved with this, with some of these decisions, or at least that's what we think. Normally that would be Doug, of course. Mm-hmm. But so who's behind this? Who's scared to pull the trigger here? Is it because Lurie's defending him? What's going on?
I got to be honest with you. I believe they think JP is the better option. Now, whether we disagree with that, which I do, or not, they believe Jason Peters is the better option. As much promise as Jordan Mailata may have shown these last 3 or 4 weeks, they are watching him closely. They know plays that they've been fortunate enough that Carson didn't get sacked on because he escaped it, or he didn't get injured because of his size, but a big hit was given up. Like, the coaches know this stuff. They know whether or not Mailata is picking up protections correctly. Like, they know this stuff, and they didn't forget, nor have I forgotten, what the offensive line looked like in that Giants game, and it didn't look good. It did not look good. The question becomes, is Jordan Mailata's development more important? That answer is always going to be no. Because the question isn't, is it more important, is his development more important than Jason Peters getting out there and play? No, is it more important than Carson Wentz's health?
Yeah, that answer is no.
Exactly.
That answer is no. I mean, if the risk of Carson getting hurt, blindsided, et cetera, is that much different with Jason Peters and Jordan Mailata, then I would understand it. Mm-hmm. I guess I just don't agree that it's that different.
I agree with you. You know what? I agree with you. I agree with you. I'm just telling you that's the way the Eagles are going to look at it.
Yeah.
That's the way they're going to look at it. That's why they brought him back here. They obviously have a high opinion of him. Mm. So if he says he wants to play left tackle, that's where he's going to play.
Well,
you know he don't want to play right guard because he never wanted to play right guard. He's not playing right guard.
Just the fact that Doug speaks today, and after the first question, he spoke about how JP, he likes that he's willing to move over to right guard, whatever. Mm-hmm. So you know that it's not just when JP is back, that's his job.
Right.
So there's already conversations about, well, maybe we move him over. Maybe he can go here. Maybe he can go there.
Right.
So it's not just it's cut and dry.
They're trying
it's
to persuade him through the media.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, like they're trying to dance around the subject to where if that was really his job and they believed that was his job, they would just do that. I don't know if they truly believe that.
I
don't know that.
I agree with you on that. There is some indecision there.
Yep.
It just is. There's some indecision there.
Hmm. Let's go to the phones. We have
by the way,
yeah,
is also being brought on by Jordan Mailata's play. In other words, if it was clear that he's much better and the team would benefit more with him out there, then it would be a no-brainer.
Yeah.
They aren't necessarily for sure. They may like what they've seen so far.
They probably have.
But it doesn't mean it's that good to where I'm going to alienate Jason Peters for the rest of the season. Because that's what you're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah, if he's not back at left tackle and they got to move him or something, it's pretty much over.
Yeah.
Let's go to John in South Philly. John, how are you, bud? What up?
What's up, guys? First time called on the show. Great show so far.
What's up?
Most importantly, I want to thank our fans.
Thank you, John.
I mean, listen, you ever, like, get called into your boss's office? I mean, I know, you know, like, your career's starting a different spot, but your boss says, hey, you're like, hey, you know, Jordan's doing good. But and your boss says, yeah, but, you know, Jason Peters has been there. Like, there's no question in my mind that there's upwards, you know, momentum, you know, pushing what, you know, pushing Jason Peters back in that spot. Like, mm-hmm. Malata's played okay. He's got 7 more years in front of him, and Peters is a 1-year rental. And how he got bullied into that contract. And I don't want to talk about this anymore, but
yeah,
I do want to talk about the wide receivers real quick.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Man, it's frustrating. Like, how could you have Jason Peters coming back who gets hurt as frequently as he does and take over that role?
You said it right, John. It's frustrating, man. It really – and I think it's frustrating for everybody, quite frankly.
Yeah, I think it's frustrating for the Eagles, too. And maybe, John, they think, like, you know what, this might take care of itself anyway, right? Like, these situations end up working themselves out. DeSean Jackson's hurt, so you don't have to worry about that. Alshon Jeffrey hurt his calf, so he's not out there. So we'll see. What about the receivers?
And it rings true across the board with receivers. It's like, if I told you we're week 8 now, week 7, whatever, I would be so content with Reger, Fulgham, who he needs a nickname because I can't pronounce his name, Greg Ward, Goddard, and Hightower, as opposed to Alshon, DeSean, and Ertz. Like, I mean, it's just insane. It's like, you know, we have to move on. Somebody's holding on to the past here.
Yeah.
I don't know who's at fault, but it's not Carson. And that's the part that's frustrating.
No, it ain't Carson.
It's got to be Howie.
these guys are under contract.
And he made a great call. I mean, a great point about, as you said this 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Well, you did say this 3-4 weeks ago. And I wasn't there yet. I wasn't there when he just listed the receiving core, and it's none other. Man, I've never been more happier to have been wrong. I am finally there. I am finally there to where we can move on. DeSean was the only real last hope I was hanging out for. Alshon and JP, no love lost there.
Yeah, but DeSean was the one guy that would make the most sense.
That was the one guy that I was hanging on for, and that's a wrap now. And so now you can go ahead moving forward with the young core guys. As a matter of fact, even my second son, I'm ready to move on without him.
Mm.
Zach Ertz.
Yeah.
I'm ready to move on.
Dick Rogers has just looked too damn good.
Well, I mean, not necessarily. But at least he has – he's not embarrassed himself either.
He has not.
So, yeah.
I'm excited to see what these young guys look like here.
I'm not excited for Dick Rogers. That's not happening. But the young guys, yes, I'm with you on that.
Season.
I am there now.
Good.
Minus him. Minus JJ. The other guys, go ahead and let them play. This division is bad enough that you should be able to still win without bringing back the vets.
And it starts on Sunday night. And the Cowboys, are they already waving the white flag? News out of Dallas today, they're releasing more veteran players. Who is it and what does it mean? We'll tell you coming up next. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Let's talk about getting a car for a second. From Get a Car. I was actually just on the website last break, and I was looking at a 2018 Jeep Wrangler JK Unlimited Sport. Man, largest selection, lowest price. That's what you get with Get a Car. And here's really what it's about. You shop online. So you select the car that you like. They bring the car to your door to test drive in your neighborhood, right? Go through, look at the large selection, look at the low prices, and then you're selecting the car you like. They bring it to you, you test drive it. If you don't like the car, tell them to take it away. Say, no, thank you. I'm good. If you do like it, keep it. But you still have a full 7 days to return the car for a full refund. So even if you like it, right? And then maybe the next day you're driving and you're saying, like, you know what? After all, I don't like this. You can still return it within 7 days for a full refund. They make trade-in simple as well. It's Get a Car. Get it with two T's. GettaCar.com. You shop from the comfort and safety of your couch. They bring the car to you to test drive, and then you keep it. It's so simple. It was made for the year 2020. Don't go to the dealership. Go to Get a Car. And this month, use promo code WIP towards your new car. $250 with promo code WIP. That's GettaCar.com. GettaCar.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.